After 10, we're talking about a project called the Disclosure Project, which is basically an internet site looking at the evidence for the existence of UFOs and aliens. Oh, no, not another one. You might be saying, well, this claims to be slightly different in that it's got a lot of senior ex-people from the military, both in this country and in the United States, who's saying, well, this is what happened to me. I was told not to talk about it. Now that I'm not in the military, I can do that. A lot of compelling evidence on this website. Andrew Johnson is a guy from Borowash who sort of stumbled across this website and thought, blimey, there might be something in this, and decided that he ought to do something in terms of raising its profile. So we'll talk to Andrew, find out exactly why he wants to do that. Omar Fowler joins us as well, our UFO expert, joining us in the studio. And also Keith Faulkner from Bonsall, who says, this is all a load of tosh, don't believe a word of it. You make up your own mind after 10 o'clock today. We'll welcome your calls as well. Now, the discussion of UFOs on BBC Radio Derby, nothing new, actually. You'll know Omar Fowler has been contributing to this show for some time. But we've been contacted recently by Andrew Johnson from Borowash in Derby, who wanted to come on air and talk about something called the Disclosure Project, something he sort of stumbled across, really, but felt was so important that its profile needed raising. As a result, he's signed up as what's called a representative for the Disclosure Project, which is actually a website on the internet. And let's bring the Omar and Andrew into the conversation. Andrew Johnson, good morning to you. And Omar, an old friend to this programme, as I've just mentioned, Boning. Andrew, you were doing a bit of research on something else, I understand, when you came across this website called the Disclosure Project.
That's right. I can't remember exactly what I was looking for, but it was obviously something related to this sort of area of things. I think it was as a follow-up to a documentary that was on BBC Three on the television some time ago. And that's when I first came across the actual website. And it's had something like 6 million hits, I think, since it first started. So it has had, you know, quite a few viewings.
Now, when you emailed us, and quite a long email from you, saying, yeah, I'd like the opportunity to come on Radio Derby, you're sort of almost apologising for the fact that you want to talk about this in the first place. You say, look, I'm an ordinary guy, you know, I've got a young family, I'm a software engineer, I'm not some kind of crank.
That's right.
And clearly, you know, this is something that you felt you needed to do, because obviously, as Omar knows, there are a lot of people who say, oh, hang on a minute, that's a bit weird, isn't it?
That's right, and I mean, this is a subject where I've been interested in for about 25 years. And I've had two small sightings myself, nothing particularly in the league of what some of the people in the Disclosure Project talk about, but, you know, it makes you think. What I'd really sort of like to say is that the Disclosure Project is really a movement to try and disclose the truth, and it's as told by first-hand witness testimony, and it's the truth about the UFO phenomenon.
We've mentioned, it's a website that you stumbled across. We'll talk some more about what it actually is in a moment. But as you said, there's a lot of testimonies on there from people who've been reasonably senior in the US military and the British military as well.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. The guy that's actually started it, I've just mentioned a little bit about him, Dr. Stephen Greer. He started it in 1993, and he wanted to find the truth behind what's been going on. And he started to identify these military witnesses. I don't know exactly how he you know went through that process, but over time he spent the next 7 years, 8 years, actually gathering together with these witness testimonies from people. He in about 2000 he had transcripts from over 400. So that's quite a lot, isn't it? And that's quite a lot of people that are involved. I mean, if it was 10 or something, you know, then maybe it wouldn't be quite so significant. But he's videotaped about 100 of these people, and he's compiled it all into a usable form, which you can buy. Some of it's available free on the website. You can just go on there and click the links and go through to the various things. From a technical point of view, it's quite difficult to get access to all of it, because you need to have the correct software installed on your computer, for instance, to view some of the video material that's there and this sort of thing.
But, there are quite a lot of testimonies around already, aren't there, from people who've been in the military? I mean, yeah. I've spoken to an ex-V-bomber pilot in this country who claims he's seen UFOs, so it's not the first time that this kind of thing's been around.
Yes, that's right, yes. I've spoken to many, many people, as you say, going back to the Gloucester Meteor Fighter days when pilots were sent up to intercept them. I've also been in touch with ex-SAS officers that were involved in surrounding a crashed UFO in North Germany. So Yes, there's been quite a lot going on, and Dr. Greer has been trying to bring this to the public's attention, and I think it was the American Senate. He was asking for an inquiry.
The main event, which I suppose I should talk about, is that in 2001, in May 2001, Dr. Greer organised a press conference in the National Press Conference Club in Washington, D.C. That was May the 9th, 2001. And he got 21 of these witnesses to come on the stand and say, I had this experience. This is me telling the truth about it. This is what happened to me personally, not to my friend or to my colleague. This happened to me personally. I'm prepared to state that this is true before a US congressional committee so that we can have an open inquiry into this. And this conference was videoed, and that's the video that's on the website that people can download if they've got the right software. And the main reason for me coming on is to say that if there's any interested group of people, or even if you've got a group of five friends and you want to see this video, I've got it, and I've got all the equipment to display it. All I need is a 13-amp socket to plug it in. And I can, if you can contact me through the station, then I will gladly come to your group if you've got a meeting and show you this video, and then you can look at it and say what do you think? You can decide what you think about it.
But in looking at the website, I mean, perhaps one of the problems a cynic may have with this is that, you know, actually they might just say, well, hang on a minute, isn't this just all for financial gain? Because you do have to pay for bits of this website, don't you?
You do.
It's just a money-making venture.
Well, this is obviously one of the things which is a big problem when somebody's saying, well, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth about this. And then somebody else can say, well, actually not. You're going to sell me the truth, aren't you? And that's what happens in quite a lot of these scenarios, be it, you know, UFOs or anything like it. Yes, there are commercial parts of the website, but, for instance, it's free to download the video. Obviously, if you haven't got an internet link which is unmetered, as we call it, in other words, you have to pay, you know, to download
things. For your connection,
then, yeah, you're going to have to pay it in that way. But I certainly don't take any money from this. And
so what does it mean to say you're signed up as a representative for this? What's your mission in this?
Well, really, my mission is to just give this as a wide an audience as possible. What I want people to do is either look at the website, or I'll show them the video, and then they can decide what they think of it.
So you don't make money out of this?
I don't make any money out of it. I actually booked a venue last month in July to show the video. It was a local venue in Borowash, and Radio Derby was kind enough to announce that for me. And I only had one person turn up, and I had to pay for that venue, and therefore I lost money on that. So, you know, I was happy to do that because I decided that this is how much money I, you know, can afford to lose, as it were, and so I went into it perfectly with that idea, you know.
What do your family think of this? Because this is sticking your head up above the parapet a bit, isn't it?
Well, this is it, and this is also what the Disclosures Project talks about, is the ridicule, and there are witness testimonies which specifically focus on that. My family are a bit split. I've got an older brother who's got very differing views to me. He's got a very different background to me. And he's kind of, I suppose, you know, sort of typical of a lot of other people, that he can't really believe the witness testimony as it's given, in one sense, which I can understand, because it's pretty, some of these people say is pretty, it's way out, really is, you know.
Yes, I mean, there was one case from an American army officer explaining that or disclosing that an American Minuteman missile base in North Dakota was put out of action by a UFO hovering over the silos.
Captain Silas's testimony, that's right.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, there's one in some of the information you've sent me that claims that 16 nuclear warheaded missiles have just disappeared.
Well, they didn't disappear. They disappeared off their activity screen, saying that they became inactive. They didn't actually physically disappear, you know, as if by a beam out from Star Trek or anything like that. No, what Captain Silas's testimony says that they had control systems monitoring their missiles' readiness for launch. That incident happened, I think, in 1967. I haven't got a note of the date here. And he said that their systems went offline whilst a UFO was over the base. Now,
and he claims that he was told by a senior officer, don't report this.
Correct.
Don't mention it again.
Yeah, and the logbooks were removed. Now, skeptical people are going to say, well, yeah, that's just what you're saying. That's just what he's saying. And, you know, and then you say, oh, of course the logbooks were taken, because then we've no way of proving the event happened. Now, one side of the argument says, well, therefore that can't have happened. And another is that there's, yes, there is actively a cover-up of these events, and that's why the logbooks were removed. Now, you and I, as ordinary citizens, you know, we can't, it's going to be very difficult for us to actually get to the truth of that.
And the problem is the military aren't going to comment whether it's they believe it's true or not, are they? Because
no.
of the nature of what we're talking
no.
about. And that just adds to the air of mystery,
of
really,
course.
Doesn't it?
And so what some of the witnesses say, in if you go through all the material, I mean, I've got this press conference video, as I mentioned. I've also got here, not that there's any use to the listeners, but I've got a DVD, which has got additional material on it, both video material and documentary material, which I've brought copies in with me here today. Not much use to the listeners, but you can see some of the documents that they present to support their evidence. So the thing that I find different about the Disclosure Project is you've got these witnesses prepared to testify under oath, under effectively a legal oath, that what they're saying is true. You've also got the documentary evidence to support what they're saying is true in many respects.
There's some startling claims coming out. I mean, we've talked about one or two of them, but I mean... The Roswell incident is one that everybody will know
of
about.
Of course,
and
yeah.
I mean, there are claims that actually that was bigger than we were led to believe, that there were more UFOs involved in that than just the one.
Well, if I just may talk about that for a minute, because that's quite important in the historical context of what the Disclosure Project talks about itself, in that a number of the disclosure witnesses do, you know, talk about events related to Roswell. Now, in 1994, the USAF published a report which basically said there was no crash disc at Roswell. We were using actually dummies, and it was a kind of a balloon test, and we were crash testing dummies, and that's why, you know, people got confused about the reports of bodies and things. And if you read the accounts of witnesses, there is also some confusion that they say some, I think, describe a triangular craft and some describe a disc. Some of the disclosure witnesses actually say that there were either two or three craft which crashed at around the same time.
Well, there was one point, though, that the dummies that the American Air Force mentioned weren't actually dropped until about five yeah. years after the Roswell
yeah.
incident.
Thank you, Emma. Yeah, and that's also brought out in a couple of other more recent testimonies on a separate website, not the Disclosure Project one. There is another report from a witness who worked at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and she describes exactly what Omar said, that the dummies which they described in the 1994 report weren't in use until the 50s. And we've got to remember that we've actually had three official stories about the Roswell incident. We had the first official story that in 1947 a disc actually did crash. We had the second official story, which was that it was Project Mogul, which was a balloon test, a secret balloon test, I think monitoring something like radio communications in the upper atmosphere, something like that, or spying on the Russian radio transmissions. And then we have the third official story in 1994, which said it was dummies. And again, in April this year, we had another witness coming forward, or rather the widow of a witness, saying that her husband was involved in the clear-up operation. And again, that article was published in the Dallas Observer in April this year.
There's also lots of claims about sort of advanced technology, aren't there? About things like anti-gravity devices, that sort of various propulsion systems.
Yes, there was a book written by Colonel Corso that he was an American officer that was in charge of transferring the technical information found inside the crashed UFO to American industry, and trying to get them to reproduce these high-tech components, which actually have been fed into the industry several years ago. And I believe this is why the Americans made quite a rapid advance in their technology at the time. Let me see, Stan Friedman, who's a nuclear physicist, has said that it's a race between us, that is the investigators interviewing Roswell witnesses, and the Undertaker, because so many of them are so old now, so it happened such a long time ago.
But if this kind of advanced technology around, I mean, there must be a huge temptation to use it. So, I mean, a cynic would say, well, if they've got it, why aren't they using it?
That again is a very difficult question to answer. Now, I think my own view on this, and this is, I must express, is my own view, that, of course, once you let the cat out of the bag, it's there for everyone to see. And of course, I think some of the work that Omar's done seems to actually point towards some of the craft that have been observed being not of, you know, extraterrestrial origin, but perhaps been, it's been said for a long time by many people, I'm certainly not the first person to say it, that some of these craft are actually operated by, you know, the US military. And again, there's other witness testimony in the Disclosure Project which says, you know, that is the case in various ways. People who sort of worked on these supposed advanced craft and this sort of thing. And of course, I accept as anyone else, it sounds bizarre, but you have to come to a point, really, where you say, well, why are all these people talking like this? You know, why are they actually doing this when they're going to be ridiculed for doing so?
Well, actually, Colonel Corso, that I mentioned just now, wrote a book called The Day After Roswell, in which he explained his action or his job in transferring these highly advanced materials to the, American industry.
That's right.
The problem is, for a lot of people, until somebody stands up and shows them a shiny disc and say, look, here is one. You know, nobody's going to believe them, are they?
Of course. Well, I mean, unless you see something physical like that right in front of your eyes, or say, for instance, we had some kind of crash disc in a museum or something like that, then yes, people are generally not going to accept it. If I may just say, staying on the historical theme for a short time, one of the things which really kind of stood out for me when I looked at this material was the reference to Eisenhower's speech in 1961. Mm. Yeah. Now, this is something that you can look at and say, well, Eisenhower was the president of the United States in 1960, or that time anyway, and he made a closing speech, and in his speech, he refers to something called the military-industrial complex. Now, if you can read the speech on the Disclosure Project website, or it's actually on a lot of other places on the internet. You just need to do a Google search if you know how to do that, and you'll find it. And he refers to the military-industrial complex and about it gaining in power. Now, there's no doubt that he made that speech. It's recorded in history, so there's no real doubt about that.
It's just the interpretation.
Exactly. It's just the interpretation.
Yes, you can actually see Eisenhower making this speech on a video that came out in the States just a few weeks ago called Out of the Blue, and this was shown on the American Hi-Fi Channel. Sci-Fi Channel, and it is the biggest disclosure video I've ever seen, and it almost made me put on my carpet slippers and give up, you know, the research, because there's virtually nothing more to say.
Yeah.
Okay, let's bring into the conversation Keith Faulkner, who's from Bonsall, who, as we know, that Bonsall is one of the places in Derbyshire where it's reported a lot of what are claimed to be UFO sightings. Keith, good morning to you. Hello, Keith, can you hear us?
There
you
are. Here.
Yeah, and you've been listening to the conversation.
Yep.
Now, you don't think there's anything in UFOs at all, do you?
No, I don't think. I think people do actually see things, but they see things that possibly are in the air, and under certain conditions, light conditions, you can probably see them, such as under certain conditions you can see a rainbow. It's not there all the time. It's only when there's some certain light conditions and rain, and you can see a rainbow. And I think this is what people are seeing. They're seeing things that exist in the air. We've got radio waves, etc., and as a result, they see something different. It's a UFO. They report it. They've actually seen something. I don't sort of not believe them, but...
And yet, people like Omar and Andrew are sitting here and genuinely believe that there is something in this. And, I mean, obviously, you know, if they didn't believe that, they wouldn't sit here and open themselves up to ridicule.
Well, I mean, in terms of all this evidence, I mean, it's totally American biased, as far as I can see, with a little bit of UK, which seems to suggest that UFOs only visit America. The rest of the world either has got to be in on this conspiracy.
Omar's laughing.
Sort of hiding it. But, I mean, the rest of the world, I mean, if there was advantage to gain, why hasn't the rest of the world gained advantage? I can see this disclosure site talks about the Americans suppressing it and a conspiracy. But the rest of the world could actually gain from this sort of information and seeing those things. There is no mention of the rest of the world, and I can't see UFOs just turning up in America and Britain and nowhere else in the world. We can't get agreement on any major issue in the world, but it seems we can get everybody suppressing UFO information.
No, you've only got to go on the internet and you can get reports from Australia, New Zealand, South America, wherever. And talking about nothing much happens in England. Well,
yeah,
actually,
the Disclosure Project is all about a conspiracy to suppress the information by an American government, and only the American government.
Well, just an interesting point. From December 93 to May 95, we had 52 incidents of what's called flying triangles over Derby, including one hovering over the what's called the spider traffic island at Ellenton. So they're seen all over the place, and certainly Derby's had its fair share.
Yeah, I don't have doubt that people see things, but I just don't believe they're UFOs. I believe they're just light conditions allow you to see certain things that images, etc.
And certainly some of those could be explained away quite easily by things
under
like that.
Certain light conditions.
Mm. Oh, yes, yes, great.
I think just what I'd like to say in response to that is, yes, people see strange things in the sky, and, sometimes it's the planet Venus, sometimes it's the planet Mars, sometimes it's a rainbow, sometimes it's some atmospheric effect, which, you know, is very rarely seen, such as like what they call a sun dog, which is an effect of ice crystals in the clouds, that sort of thing. But what I'd say to people is, if you think that's the only type of UFOs that have been recorded and observed, again, look at the evidence on the Disclosure Project website and, and just spend some time looking at it. Spend a couple of hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, however much time you've got, and make your own mind up. The people that are involved are not, they are sort of generally very highly qualified. That's what's really sort of stood out, the other thing that stood out for me. You're looking at people who are got the finger on the button of nuclear missiles in the 60s, and that's a bit different, a different scenario to somebody sort of. I don't mean to be rude, but somebody out walking the dog and this sort of thing, because people who are out walking the dog see these things as well, and they're just as valid. But when somebody in the U.S. Army who's got a very high level of responsibility and it's his job to report things accurately, and when they make these sort of reports and they come out and they say, well, look, I'm prepared to swear under oath that this happened, then that certainly makes me think about it very, very, very strongly.
Well, I wasn't prepared to pay the $5 to read all these, but
if you can get a group of friends together, I'll come and show you the video, and I'm quite happy for you to see it. I'll come over, I'll free, I won't charge anything, and then you can decide. That's my offer, and.
But, I mean, that's the point, Keith, and it's one I made earlier, isn't it? That's a problem for some people, is that because they're making money out of the website...
Correct, yeah. I mean, 6 million people, even if 10% or 5% have paid the $5, there's a fair amount of money there.
Well, as I say, certain parts of it to access are free. You can download the video for free, and you can actually, you may even be able to go to your local library and do it, so you don't even have to buy or own a computer. So the information is available for free, I think the important parts of it are, yes, they sell commercial products, and they're very expensive to buy from the UK because of the shipping costs, and one of the things that surprised me is that there's no, kind of UK outfit which is reselling it.
But why do they charge if they're trying to, make people aware of this?
That's a good question. I mean, they have a website to run. They have to try and present a credible front, to people so that somebody like me can come along and have some kind of credibility. So that, they can't do that for free. You do need to have things, pay people expenses to set up conferences. As I say, I booked this venue. Those sorts of things need to be paid for. And if that's going on all around the world, then that takes quite a bit of money. We don't live in a world where everything's free, so yes, they do need some money. But you're not obliged to buy anything. Yes, you can access more of the website if you pay $5 or whatever the sum is. But
well, anybody can log into UFO Info, which covers the very latest reports on the George Filer files from the States, and they cover British reports as well, and that's absolutely free.
Another disclosure witness, George Filer.
Keith, you say a lot of them obviously can be explained away by tricks of the light and all the rest of it. What about these people, though, who held fairly senior positions in the military, who are willing to stand up and swear on oath that this is what happened?
Well, one, they haven't sworn on oath. develop. I mean, that's
no, but they say they're willing to.
Secondly, if you look at that site, there is one or two witness statements that is given as examples, and one of them is the head of British Defence, and it says such things as there is a serious possibility that we are being visited and could be subject to serious scientific investigation. It doesn't actually, you know, he's no knowledge, he hasn't seen anything, he's no information about UFOs, yet it's given as a witness statement. So some of them...
If I may come in on that, I think the person you're referring to is Lord Norton Hill.
Yeah.
And okay, he didn't have directly a UFO experience of his own, but he interviewed the people that were involved in the so-called Rendlesham Forest incident, which happened in 1980. Now, that actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's quite interesting to me, because when I read that testimony, some of his words say something along the lines of, as you said, there is a serious possibility we are being visited by beings from another world, and this subject should be the subject of rigorous investigation, and not the subject of rubbishing by the tabloid newspapers. Now, about a week after I read that testimony, my wife showed me an article in the Daily Mail. I actually have a copy here, because I'm glad this has come up. And I actually emailed the reporter of that article to say, well, what's this all about? Why are people trying to say that this is a hoax after 23 years? Why is that so important? And if you look at the article and actually ask questions about how the hoax explains the event, it really doesn't stand up to a lot of scrutiny.
No, I mean, in that case, Colonel Holt, that was one of the witnesses of the UFO incident and second in charge of the nuclear base. I mean, his testimony would come into question.
Yeah.
I mean, my sort of take on this is, you know, it's a huge universe we live in, and, you know, although I'd want to see some proof, you know, there's got to be something else out there somewhere, Keith, hasn't there?
I just don't know. I just don't believe there is of a form that we would possibly see.
I suppose the other question is...
things, and the whole things like this can be explained by lights, or there could even be, I mean, in terms of talk about conspiracy to hide things, why isn't there a conspiracy to create a conspiracy of let's all create this hoax? It'll get people involved in things about UFOs. It creates a channel of...
sort of the crop circle type thing.
That's right.
A channel for people like the two on the programme today to be involved about, and rather than on something else.
So are you part of a conspiracy, guys?
Well, who knows? I mean, you know, you can really sort of you can form any conspiracy theories that you like, and you know, find evidence for them being true. Yes, the Disclosure Project does talk of conspiracy theories, but it actually, again, bases that on witness testimony of people that have been supposedly involved in directly in covering up information. So, you know, if you look at it on that basis, then, you know, it does stand up to scrutiny. And if I may just go back to a previous point that, you know, we've got such a vast universe. Now, there is actually work, scientific work, nothing to do with the Disclosure Project, to try and actually work out, you know, could there be intelligent life? And this is called the Drake equation. And this was done, I think, in the 50s and 60s. And they came out with a figure of between, up to about 10,000 civilizations in our galaxy, they think there may be. They based this figure on how quickly stars form and how many of them have planets and how many of those planets evolve life, etc. So there is, according to this, a potential for 10,000 civilizations to be in our own Milky Way. Studies with the Hubble Space Telescope in the last sort of 15 years suggest perhaps there might be 100 billion galaxies in the universe. Now, I mean, I've said all this, and it works both ways, because, okay, we might have many, many civilizations, but then we're in a very large universe, so how would they ever find us? But I think, you know, the evidence certainly on that doesn't go against us being visited, because if they were more advanced than us, then they would know what to look for. And again, if I just may talk about the age...
I mean, that's another interesting point. I mean, I don't expect you to know the answer to this, but why aren't they making themselves more seen if they are there?
Well, again, that's another good question, a very common one. Now, disclosure project testimony doesn't really answer that question particularly. I don't think it tries to answer it. But if I was to give an answer, my answer would be, and again, this is just based on my own opinion rather than any sort of hard evidence, is if you think of us being higher than, say, the rest of the wildlife that we go and observe on Earth, you know, we go out, and if you go and watch birds, you go into a bird hide. So what you're doing, you're trying to hide, you're trying to conceal your presence, because what you want to do is you want to observe what's going on in its natural environment so that you can learn about it, and you don't want to disturb it. And that's the way I look at it, or one of the ways I look at it.
Okay, Andrew, Omar, we could go on and talk about this all day. It's a fascinating subject. Thank you very much for coming in. Time has beaten us, sadly.
I'd just add that the world is round and not flat.
And if I may just say, if anyone wants information, hopefully you can contact me through Radio Derby, and I'll tell you whatever I can.
Okay, and also there is a link to the Disclosure Project on the BBC's website for Derbyshire, bbc.co.uk/Derby. If you want to look at the Disclosure Project for yourself, form your own opinions, there is a link, as I say, from the BBC's website for Derbyshire. Thank you to Keith Faulkner, joining us from Bonsall, Omar Fowler, who you've heard on this programme before, and Andrew Johnson from Borough Washing Derby. Thank you very much for your time this morning.